Hi, everyone. This is Dave Denton from Turnbuckle Trash. This is a special edition of the podcast today. We're going to have a couple of special guests. We're going to be talking to John and Dave Bear, a father and son that I got to go with to a DCW event in Salt Lake City. And this was their first, maybe their second attempt at watching professional wrestling live. More on that coming up. And then we have another podcaster. We'd love to talk to other podcasters about pro wrestling. His name is Kevin. Kevin, what's your name again?
First name is Kevin. Last name is Solorzano.
After John, Dave, and Kevin, you get to listen to Chris, Dave, and Zane O'Mac as we talk about serious and not so serious things happening because of COVID-19.
Coronavirus.
This is a special edition of Turnbuckle Trash. We're calling it Trash Head Mania.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll tear your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Hi, everyone. It's Dave Denton, Turnbuckle Trash. Kind of an unusual sound, what you might be hearing in the background is actually we're recording this while we're driving northbound on Interstate 15. And I think we're getting fairly close to Ogden, is that right?
Yeah, we're about Roy, Utah.
Roy, Utah. Okay, yeah. Okay, Roy, Utah. So we're heading home to our home in Logan, Utah from going to Devotion Championship Wrestling. And Dave Bear and his son Jonathan, former neighbors of mine and very good friends, and we've known each other for years and years and years. But Dave, I think this was the first time you've ever been to a live professional match. Is that right?
It is.
Did you used to watch it as a kid?
Yeah, I watched them when I was a kid, way back when Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant were wrestling.
That was a long time ago, dude.
Yeah, about 10,000 years.
Yeah, he's not quite as old as I am, though. And let's talk about what you saw at Devotion tonight. When we decided to make a guy's night out, I got to ask you, what match impressed you the most and the guys that were in the ring?
I like the match with Bruce Wayans and Bishop.
Oh, man, Marlon Bishop and Bruce Wayans. They got in the ring, and, man, they were just going at each other, weren't they?
Yeah, it was real physical, but also entertaining. They put their all into it.
And, you know, when we talk about professional wrestling, we talk about storyline and how Bruce came into the ring, and he was mouthing off, and the next thing you know, here comes Marlon Bishop, and Bishop just wailed on him for a while. That was the fun part, seeing, and Bruce is a friend of mine, but he got his battering beat off.
Yeah, that's for sure. It didn't look like he underestimated his opponent, and it came back to bite him in the butt.
Okay, Dave, before we get to your son back here, I was going to ask you, is there anything like a crowd that you've been to, any kind of concert, any kind of other event, that gets into what they're watching like a wrestling crowd?
No, they got into it quite a bit. I especially liked them giving the refs a bad time.
Anytime anybody of authority, Dave doesn't like. So Jonathan Bear, I've known Jonathan basically since he was born, 17 right now, and Jonathan is the one that comes over to my house. You hear me talking about on the podcast, comes over and watches some of the WWE pay-per-views with me. And Jonathan, this was your second live event, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay, now Jonathan Bear, I got to ask you, your favorite wrestlers tonight?
My favorite wrestlers got to be Marlon Bishop and the Rekha
Tehaka.
Tehaka.
You just thought she was pretty, didn't you?
Yes, she was very pretty, but also very talented.
Oh, she was. She put on a great job. So, John, as you have gotten older, and you and I have read comic books and watched superhero movies, and you've heard me talk about pro wrestling, and you've been going to a couple events and coming over to my house, what's making you a fan now?
Making me a fan of wrestling?
Professional wrestling, yes.
Oh, I guess it's the storylines and the just the pure craziness of the moves that they do inside the ring.
Now, you were talking tonight, and you were saying you wanted to do this craziness?
yeah, I would love to be part of the craziness that is, you know, wrestling. I think it would be pretty fun.
But let me ask you one thing. Would your mom think it's fun?
My mom would probably kill me if I brought it up.
You know, your mom's probably going to kill me for you thinking about it. Let's not tell her about the podcast, okay, guys?
Yeah, probably not.
Well, I hope you guys had a great time. And I just thought it'd be kind of interesting to talk to some people that are, one is a kind of a newbie and one's kind of a novice in the world of professional wrestling at Devotion Championship Wrestling tonight. And I will put it out there that we did meet Vince Russo, and Vince will be joining us on our podcast sometime in the near future. We'll talk with Vince Russo, the legendary member of WCW, WWE, TNA, and more. Controversial at times, but also has some of the greatest storylines ever coming from the mind of Vince Russo, and he said he would join us on Turnbuckle Trash. Well, guys, I hope you had a good time tonight.
Yep.
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 Thanks to John and Dave for joining us on the podcast. That was a lot of fun. Up next, first pin, it's Kevin.
Solorsino.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
The greatest wrestler in the history of wrestling? He was so good that he wore an outfit with the words fair play written across it. Like, I'm so good, I don't even need the cheat to beat you. It's kind of my idol.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
I send them to deletion.
Depends over to diapers.
Delete.
One of the fun things we like to do when we're on Turnbuckle Trash is we like to talk to other podcasters. And we have one on the phone with us right now. First off, let me say hi to Krister Evans. Hi, Chris.
Oh, how's everything going here? It's a beautiful day in Winston-Salem. Everybody's having, and everybody's indoors because of this panic. But how are you two guys doing? It's going to be a great show.
Kevin, how are you doing?
Doing good. Just here on my lunch, unfortunately, having to work. I know a lot of people are locked down due to all the stuff that's going on, but not this guy. This guy has to work, got bills to pay, got family, got my family, got to keep feeding everybody, so got to keep working.
Boy, I know a lot about eating food. So, Kevin, let me see if I can get this name right. Surliano? Is that close?
Solorsino.
Solorsino. Well, I wasn't even close. Solorsino. And Kevin has a podcast that he just started up recently on professional wrestling called First Pin Podcast. Kevin, welcome to Turnbuckle Trash, man.
Thank you guys for having me on today.
Now, let's talk about wrestling. And Chris, anytime you want to jump in, you just jump in, okay?
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about professional wrestling. Now, Kevin, what we like to also do is to find out what got you interested in professional wrestling and how long have you been a fan, Kevin?
All right. So, sounds good. So, the earliest memory that I have, since I'm only 23 years old, is WrestleMania 17, if you guys remember that WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, big time.
So basically, that's the earliest memory that I have. And I was a big Rock fan, believe it or not. I know a lot of older people were all about Stone Cold and everything. And I remember I was really mad when Stone Cold beat The Rock. I was only like around 5-6 years old. And also on that day was the day that I became a fan of The Undertaker, which is pretty crazy because everybody talks about being a fan of The Undertaker when he was the Dead Man. And I became a fan of him when he became basically the American Badass,
uh-huh.
Which, you know, I thought it was awesome, you know, him coming down with the motorcycle and that match he had against Triple H the first time they went at it at WrestleMania 17. It's just, it was a really awesome match. And that's the earliest memory that I have. So I've basically been a fan since, like I said, like age 5 or 6. And then around 2010, 2011, I think, when I was going into high school, I pretty much stopped watching wrestling. You know, I started getting into other stuff. I started playing, because I'm originally from California. Mm-hmm. So I was high school came. A lot of stuff went down in high school. I ended up playing football, you know, got involved in much more other stuff. So I just recently came back around to wrestling, I want to say around June or July. And the way that I got back into it, I started just basically just kind of searching up wrestling on YouTube. And I remember I ended up going to Ultra Championship Wrestling Zero out here in Salt Lake. They did, I think it was like a free show in at a church.
Yeah.
And one of my sister-in-law's husband, I was with him because my wife and his wife were, because they're both sisters, they were out in California. And he was like, oh, let's go out to this church event that they're doing, that they're going to have free pro wrestling. He's like, do you like wrestling? I was like, yeah, of course I love pro wrestling, you know, ever since I was a little kid. So we went out and watched their free show. And then I think we followed up to their Lucky 1-2-3 event. And ever since then, basically, you know, it's crazy to say that the little indie scene out here is kind of what got me back into wrestling. And I started getting back into WWE. And then really started doing all my research on All Elite Wrestling, and just basically been a fan ever since of both of those companies, of course, WWE once again. And then I started getting into New Japan, started searching Ring of Honor, Impact again, because I used to watch Impact back when it was TNA as well. And then, just basically doing my best to look at all these other companies, not just WWE, because I know there's a lot of people that are just like, oh, it's WWE or it's nothing at all, and not me. To me right now, my favorite is All Elite Wrestling, but you know, I've also been interested by NWA Power and all these other companies. And one of my main goals for this year is actually to start doing research and watching, you know, the old territory days, and just really trying to get my knowledge up when it comes to the sport of professional wrestling.
Well, Kevin, you're talking to an old school guy here, and also Chris, not quite as old as I am. When you mentioned The Undertaker and the American Badass, I think that Chris and I remember The Undertaker as Mean Mark Callis in Texas Red, mm-hmm. back in Texas, and also in Memphis, Tennessee, when he was Mean Mark Callis. What a talent. I mean, this guy was really good. And then you also mentioned UCW Zero, and I've been to a couple of their events, and I think my favorite there is Guerrero Azteca. He was so big and so good and so athletic. I hope you got to see him wrestle.
Yeah, I ended up my two favorites out there is him and Kevin Castillo. I don't know if you've seen him, but yeah. I talk to him every now and then. We always talk pro wrestling, and you know, they're just really cool dudes. But by far the best match that I saw at Lucky 1-2-3 was between Trey Matthews and I think it's Tony Nova. They put on a really good, like, 15 to 20 minute match, and it was a lot of like high flying mixed with like technical wrestling. And I was just like, it reminded me of some Kurt Angle or like Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, just like this really technical wrestling. And I was like, I was super surprised. I was like, wow, these guys out here doing this, that's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, you got a question?
Well, I would like to ask Mr. Kevin this. What is your favorite match of all time back in when you watched the WWE? What was your favorite match of all time?
Favorite match of all time. Let me get a quick second to think about that. Let me see.
Uh-oh.
He's thinking.
Yes.
Still thinking.
Still thinking.
You put him on the spot here, Chris. When you think
I'm sorry.
Favorite matches of all time, you start
of
going,
all time.
Okay.
I mean the ones that you have to go back on YouTube and watch the highlights of every time and say, oh my gosh, it just, you know.
Are you guys talking about just WWE in particular, or all promotions combined, or what are we looking at?
Just WWE in particular for right now.
I think I would have to say the first match between Undertaker and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25. That match, I was just nonstop. I was just amazed by how these two were going at it. And, I mean, a lot of people look at it as possibly one of Undertaker's greatest matches of all time as well.
Wow. Yeah, I'll agree with that, yes. I'll agree with that.
Well, Kevin, I know that you and I have been contacting a few times with Messenger and stuff, and I actually did an intro for your podcast. I hope it's good enough for you to use. But I was going to ask you, because you were kind of at the forefront of AEW in Salt Lake City. It was the night everything started going crazy with the coronavirus. When you were at the Maverick Center, was there any talk about that going on as we were just really starting to get into that?
Well, I think what it was, because I posted on our Facebook group that we have, a lot of people were worried because of that. And I feel super lucky that basically it's the last live show that they did with the crowd. I think we were like close to 6,000 deep in that arena. And I think that's what really affected their ticket sales. I know Andrew so well. He was talking about saying that maybe it's because they didn't promote as well as WWE did. But I think, I mean, if you look at February, like towards the end of February and early March is when all this virus stuff really started picking up heat, and you know, with the NBA, the NHL, all the sports closing. And I think that's what really affected that night. I think if it wasn't for all this stuff going on, maybe we could have possibly had a sold out crowd. I do believe though, it was just an awesome experience no matter who was there. I saw a lot of people online complain. They were like, they didn't do as good as WWE, but it's just like, you got to remember, these guys are new, they're edgier, and they're trying to get a lot of the old fans back into wrestling who stopped watching WWE when they went into the PG era or whatever that case is. Mm-hmm.
Well, Kevin, I was also interested in asking you one thing, because I've been to the Maverick Center several times to see WWE events. You said there were about 6,000 fans there. And I can't remember over 6,000 fans being at the Maverick Center for any WWE event. So maybe my perspective is a little bit different, but I think that was a great crowd with everything that was going on, plus it being on a Wednesday night. That's why I wasn't there. I had planned on going there, but, I got to work, and I live, an hour and a half away from the Maverick Center. So, and plus, it's pretty cool that you were – probably one of the last professional wrestling events that was live that we've had for several weeks now. And your perspective was the crowd talking about it?
Yeah, the atmosphere was honestly electric. I mean, that was the first time I went to an event since Elimination Chamber back in 2011. That was in Oakland, California. And this crowd was electric. I mean, I was right there on where the stage was. If you guys saw it on TV, where Lance Archer right away came out from that tunnel, he crossed right in front of me.
All right.
And I remember I saw him cross right in front of me, and I saw Jake the Snake. I was like, wait a minute, that's Jake the Snake Roberts. And then I was like, who's that tall guy next to him? And I was like, wait a minute, that's Lance Archer. And the whole crowd just started going, like, our section started going crazy because we saw them. And if you go back and watch the footage, Nobody really knew what was going on until they got up right on that front row of where the barricade was. And that's when the crowd started going crazy. And honestly, like I said, it was just an electric night. The crowd was into everything. They were, cheering for the faces, booing the heels, and, chanting, "This is awesome," and all the chants that they do during the shows,
Well, you said you went to Elimination Chamber in Oakland. That should make Andrew Sowell very happy, because I think he is from the Bay Area himself originally. So, Chris, you have any other question right now?
No, I'm just interested in what he had to think about AEW and with all the coronavirus that's going on with all these empty arena matches. My question, I have one for you and to you, Uncle Dave, as well. now that we have these empty arenas, it just feels so weird to see nobody in the crowd whatsoever. Didn't Raw seem just so bland?
Well, David, if you don't mind, I can go first. Answer that question, it did seem bland, I guess, a bit. If you go back to, I think, last week or when they had Stone Cold, I was iffy about that. I wish, you know, someone like a legend like him, a Hall of Famer, would have addressed the situation a little bit more, you know, to kind of let us fans know, hey, you know, these guys and girls are trying to do their best. I think AEW did amazing, even though a lot of people I saw were complaining online. They were like, oh my gosh, they're putting all their wrestlers at risk for having them in the crowd. I mean, in the end, AEW knows what they're doing. I think it was awesome how they had, you know, the heels on one side and the faces on the other side, and they were just interacting and all that whole thing. But I mean, WWE, you know, we got to give them credit, whether people will say that they should cancel or postpone or whatever the case is. And we should still give them credit. I mean, they're doing what they can to entertain us, the fans. And I love it because, you know, it gets your mind off of what's going on in the world for, you know, 3 hours, 2 hours or whatever the case is. And I don't know if you guys saw, but they're I think today, and I think from yesterday and today, they were, from what I heard online, was they were taping WrestleMania 36.
Right.
So, I mean, it gets me a little bit more interested in really wanting to watch WrestleMania. It's like, okay, they're doing an empty arena WrestleMania, which is history in itself. What are they going to do production-wise to make us forget that there is no empty arena? You know, if we come out and say, wow, it was an amazing show with no fans, then, of course, we're going to say it was worth it. But also knowing how us fans are, if it comes out and the production on it is horrible, we're going to be like, ah, well, they should have just postponed it.
Well, you know, you were talking about the AEW show, the first one that they did without the fans. Cody Rhodes, our Cody, was the first one to speak. He was standing right in the middle of the ring, and he addressed the situation. So I have to agree with you. And then when you were talking about some of the people upset with AEW for putting their wrestlers at risk, if you looked at it, there was no more than 10 on each side of the ring. Mm-hmm. And there probably wasn't 25 people inside that arena besides camera staff. I mean, there might have been more there, maybe some technical staff. But as far as the wrestlers themselves, there might have been, at a total, even when they had tag matches, 20 people inside that arena. But there were some wrestlers who were conspicuous by their absence. Pac wasn't there. You know, they just did that triangle that he has with the Lucha Bros, and then the Bunny wasn't there. So Tony Khan, and I think, you know, to give equal credit to the WWE, they've told the wrestlers if they don't feel comfortable, there will be no repercussions to say, no, I'm not going to be there this time. So I've got to give them credit for that. But also, Kevin, when you start looking at social media, somebody's not going to be happy. Social media is so slanted, because the only people who really get on there and say, yes, that was great, are shouted out by those who say no, because that they have no life. They can't enjoy the product that is given to them despite the limitations they have. And I applaud AEW especially. And then this past Monday night, I thought Monday Night Raw was a lot better than it was 2 weeks ago. So I think they're coming to their own. Guys?
I'll let Kevin go first. Go right ahead, please.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Raw was better. It did surprise me, though, that the ratings, I don't know if you guys saw the ratings, though, but they dropped. I'm not someone that really cares about the ratings, but I was like, okay, you know, maybe with everybody at home, the ratings would increase. I mean, I don't know if maybe that first Raw empty arena maybe left a sour taste, because, I mean, we know the huge difference between that first Raw that, you know, they only had Andrade and Rey Mysterio have one match, uh-huh, compared to this one where it was more exciting. They build it up better to WrestleMania, you know, with Edge, you know, coming out the week before challenging Orton, and then now this week Orton accepting, you know, I was just surprised because I thought the ratings for Monday night were going to be way at the same or much higher than they were when they came out.
Well, Kevin, I'm going to throw in something here. Every week, if you start looking at what they post for the ratings, especially Raw, more times than not, that third hour is going to drop. You know, and we've been talking about this on our podcast for years. 3 hours of Raw is just hard, especially for me to watch as, you know, being a working man. It's hard to do. And I think a lot of people are that way. And I think a lot of people are like you, Kevin. They sometimes will, instead of watching the shows, they'll go on YouTube and watch highlights. And I know Zane does that quite often. So, Kevin, let's get back into just regular wrestling. When you talked about AEW, let's talk about one or two of your favorites there.
For AEW, my favorites, wow. There's a lot that I like. I think, of course, I think one and two are going to have to be Moxley and Jericho, just their beef or, you know, the rivalry that they have going in between them. I thought, honestly, it was going to end after Moxley won. But for them to keep that going and, you know, just everything that I've been learning about Jericho, I don't know if you guys saw last night, but the Dark Side of the Ring, you know, just to find out, you know, who Chris Jericho is outside of the ring. I mean, we know that he plays a really good heel on TV, but just the human that he is outside intrigued me more, you know, because he's done so much for the business, the whole reinventing himself. And honestly, I think he put AEW on the map, made him more legit when he won the championship. And I think Moxley's just going to be the one to take it to that next level. And so whoever follows Moxley and beats Moxley for the championship, I think AEW is setting it up correctly by them. You know, whoever they put in to beat Moxley is going to be, you know, one of the people to take that company to that next level to where they need to go.
We're talking to Kevin. Give me your last name again, Kevin.
Solorsano?
Yeah. I have trouble with last names. You're going to have to forgive me. I am a broadcast professional working in radio all my life, and I always have trouble with last names. But, Kevin, I wanted to go back to talking about WrestleMania one more time. When you're talking about WrestleMania and you're having your empty arena match, do you think that their ratings, even though they're taking it on two nights now, you think it's going to struggle to and they're going to have to kind of change things up in the near future about what they're going to be doing with these empty arenas? Or do you think they're going to knock it out of the park?
Well, I think when it comes to WrestleMania 36, I think the big thing is going to be, since it is taped, what they're going to do to make us forget that the crowd is there. I think the biggest match two big matches that are going to suffer from not having the fans there are going to be the Randy Orton and Edge match, because Randy's built so much heat on himself that I think the fans would go blow the roof off that stadium, even though it doesn't have a stadium, if they were to do it at the stadium that we're originally going to when Edge, you know, picks up that victory. And I think the other one would be when Drew McIntyre beats Brock Lesnar. I mean, I kind of like that they're doing this whole two nights. And I think what it has to do with, like I said, it's just the production. If these guys can put on a good show, empty arena, like, it, you know, it's going to be something that we're always going to remember. And I think it's crazy that, you know, my first WrestleMania that I'm going to watch in full effect since, you know, my returning to pro wrestling, it's going to be an empty arena. It's going to be one that we're never going to stop talking about until, you know, the end of time. You know, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren are, you know, if they become fans of pro wrestling, they're going to be like, oh, my great-grandpa told me a story of when WrestleMania was empty. You know, hopefully this is the one and only time that we have to go through this. But I you know, I have trust in WWE that maybe they can put on a really good show that we will forget about, you know, there being no fans. But, you know, those are the two matches I think that really worry me, that you know, with the crowd there for Drew, you know, hopefully becoming that champion, you know, the crowd would go crazy for him. And the same for Edge getting his revenge on Randy Orton would be the ultimate revenge.
Yeah. So, Chris, I'm going to have you jump in here because I'm going to talk empty arenas. Tell us about an empty arena match. And I know you know what I'm talking about.
Well, there's been two in my mind that I know of with The Rock and Mankind. On the Super Bowl halftime show, they put on an empty arena match for the WWF World Championship, which that was an empty arena match. And there's another one that comes from the great state of Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee, where Jerry the King Lawler and Terry Funk went at it in an empty arena match, the first of its kind ever. And that's where the WWF got the idea from.
Yeah,
watching Jerry Lawler and Terry Funk.
Now, Kevin, I'll tell you, I got to meet Vince Russo at a DCW event, and I tried to get you to come to that event, but you wouldn't come. But Vince Russo was there, and I got to meet him, and I was talking to him afterwards. And Vince said that that's where they got the idea for the Super Bowl halftime show with The Rock and also Mick Foley, or I think it was Mankind at the time, for that empty arena, was watching Memphis wrestling. And Chris and I are, you know, we're old school guys. We grew up on Jerry the King Lawler. And I'll tell you this right now, and I want to invite you to join us on Turbical Trash for this. Starting on Sunday, we're going to do something we're going to be calling the Trash Head Mania. And we're going to be posting matches, some of our favorite matches from YouTube. And we're going to ask people to make comments as they watch them throughout WrestleMania week. And actually, that empty arena match with the King and Terry Funk was going to be one of the matches I was going to post on there. So I invite you to join us on that on Turnbuckle Trash for the Trash Head Mania. Sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, that sounds interesting, honestly.
So, you know,
oh, yeah, it's gonna
we're going to be doing stuff from independents. We're going to ask some of the independent wrestlers that are on our Facebook page to pay some, even some of their own matches. I mean, I'm hoping Tombstone Jesus will put on a match for us, and maybe Andrew So Well, or the Pineapple Clad Tom Chad, Manny Lemons, and Rika from DCW. We also have a couple of wrestlers back east in Florida, John Wagner. It's on our Turnbuckle Trash, and some from Colorado, and we're going to invite them to put on either their matches or one of their favorite matches of all time. And we're going to start that on the week of Mania. We're going to call it Trash Head Mania. So, Kevin, it's been a pleasure having you on with us. And once again, tell us how people can listen to your podcast, First Spin.
So, everybody, you guys can check me out on YouTube at First Spin Podcast. Again, my name is Kevin Solorsino. I got actually a video probably going up tonight. I'm going to be reviewing The Dark Side of the Ring, the Chris Benoit, part 1 and 2. One of the big things that I'm going to be doing is kind of going to be putting out small videos, like reviews of classic wrestling as well. Basically just trying to build up an audience. You know, my goal eventually is one day to be able to do my podcast full time and not have to do a regular job. So if you guys want to check me out on First Spin Podcast, you can search that on YouTube, and hopefully you should be able to find it. It'll say First Spin. It'll have a picture of a microphone, and you'll see all the other promotions on there. That's just the temporary logo that I have for now. But episodes usually drop Saturdays or Sunday, depending how busy I am, because I do have a regular job and a family that's depending on my time. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for having me on.
Well, no problem.
It was an honor, sir.
And let's talk about your family. Who's in your family that you're helping to support?
My wife, my daughter, who is 4 years old, and my son, who we just had, and he's turning 3 months in a couple weeks.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Well, Kevin, let's try to get together sometime at an event. Once things start calming down, maybe we can get you to a DCW event. I'll try to come out to a UCW Zero event, and maybe one of the promotions will come through town again. So, Kevin, First Spin Radio, First Spin Podcast, thank you so much for being with us. And Don't forget us little guys at Turnbuckle Trash when you become a huge star.
No, of course not. Of course not.
We'll ask for autographs later.
That's right.
All right, Kevin, thanks a lot, and have a great day, and please be safe and stay healthy, okay, my man?
All right, thank you. You guys, too, stay safe out there. I know it's a crazy time that we're living in, but let's just follow what everyone's saying. Let's wash those hands and stay away from people. I mean, I'm not a people person, but I will have to become one, right, in order to get to that level of where I want to be with my podcast and stuff. But let's just follow what people are saying, wash those hands, social distance, and, yeah, let's just – I know we can get through this, and can't wait to get through this to be on that better side of the world whenever that may come and be able to enjoy some pro wrestling with fans once again.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thank you, guys.
We at Turnbuckle Trash would like to wish Kevin the best with his podcast, and thanks for being a part of our podcast today, Kevin. But up next, boy, we're going to get into it. It's the guys from Turnbuckle Trash. Dave, that's me, Christopher Evans, and Zane O'Mac, next.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, @TurnbuckleTrash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the outfits before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
And now for, as they call, the meat and potatoes of the podcast, it is Christopher Evans from North Carolina, Dave Denton from Logan, Utah, and from just two blocks away from me at Logan, Utah, but we can't get together because of coronavirus. It's Zane Peterson. Zane, oh, Mac, what you doing in Logan, my brother?
You know how mad I am? Not at you.
Okay.
Not at you. I love you.
Uh-huh.
And Chris, too. We can't let Chris feel excluded in this, but I was looking so forward to recording in the Stitchin', but I have to resort to a telephone call because of the worldwide pandemic.
As a matter of
fact...
You're a doctor.
Why don't you tell us what you think about all this?
I'm not officially a doctor. I do play one on the radio.
No,
so.
You've told this whole time? You've been saying that you were the quote-unquote doctor of rock or Dr. Dave Denton?
I have a PhD, which we like to call a FUD. I'm a FUD of rock and roll. Hey, Zane, I want you to do something for me right now about the stitching.
Should I spit and see if it lands on your... If it lands on your house?
No. Don't let it land on my house. No, I thought as part of... Because I'm actually going to be broadcasting my radio show from my home throughout the next couple of weeks. I'm homebound because of the situation we're in. And I'm going to be talking about the stitching, the studio in the kitchen. And I want you to talk about how you were the one that came up with that name. I'm going to use that on my radio show, too.
We used to record the podcast in at your radio station.
Uh-huh.
But it got to be kind of, for reasons that it just got to be a pain in the butt, we'll just say. Uh-huh. Going down there to the radio station, happened to unlock the door, happened to make sure that you got permission to use it. So Dave set up a couple microphones in his kitchen, and so... when I was working for Utah State and working in town and stuff, I would just come down and sit in his kitchen and we would record the podcast. And so we talked about the studio in the kitchen. So we just started shortening it and we called it the Stitchin'.
I still love that. The Stitchin'.
the stitching. So it's kind of like the studio in the kitchen, I guess, right? So
see what you miss. See what you miss out on, Chris.
That sounds like a stripper's name that you can't even wash away with bleach, but I like it.
Whoa.
Jeez.
Sorry.
Where has Chris been? Chris, you're supposed to be under quarantine, buddy. You're not supposed to be going.
Hey, wait a minute now. I told y'all guys I got my steel in the back. I'm making hand sanitizer. $35 for 1 gallon.
Really?
Hit me up. I'll put out my number for you.
I do have
one question. Who's the meat and who's the potato?
Oh gosh.
I'm the meat because I am like a butcher term. I am well marbled. I'm not fat, I'm well marbled.
Dave, we said earlier you're athletically overweight.
That's right.
See? I mean, that's a good. Proper term.
That's the
right
problem.
So that means I'm a quadruple bypass burger, right?
That's right. and some of them burgers he eats with all them jalapenos and stuff on there. Woo! And man, likes some spicy food. Well, guys, let's talk about some professional wrestling. Good grief!
Okay.
I've already lost control. We are in a. I mean, you know, we are in a situation. Whether we totally agree with it or whether we totally do not, or we're just kind of in between, we are in a unique situation now with the world of professional wrestling. Guys, yes, what do you think about what's going on with WrestleMania? We'll start with Zane.
I've tried to watch the last couple empty arena deals, and I just, it's so weird. It's just, it's like the first one was kind of unique and kind of like funny when Triple H, you know, had the camera and they were, you know, said, oh, we're shorthanded and got a few laughs and, you know, things like that. But then they keep going with this and I'm just kind of like, this is weird. And then they want to have a WrestleMania like this? Like, the whole point of WrestleMania is that it's like, this is the Super Bowl of sports entertainment, of professional wrestling. I mean, this is the crowd and the fireworks and the people and the entrances and the, you know, I mean, it's I don't know. They should just postpone it or cancel it for this year, in my opinion. And I until we can get some crowds back, I think they should just let the wrestlers take some time off. Give them a break for a while. I don't know what that would do for the WWE stock and the shareholders and all that crap that we don't have control over. But, hey, that's just my opinion. And we all know what opinions are like.
So, Chris, what is your opinion like? You know, what Zane says here. Also.
And there's this toilet paper shortage, Chris, so don't get too crazy here now, buddy.
And that's okay. I can find it real quick. I've got the vegan lettuce that I can get the hold of, and that's a wife for me.
Okay.
Attaboy.
Look, that's a, you know, cabbage. Listen, guys, WrestleMania is going to suck. If they do have it, how are you supposed to you finally have the American Badass finally coming back to his debut, and he's going to come into an arena that's so dang small, it's going to be like a house show, but it's also I just don't get it. The house show sucked. Can't they put mannequins in the chair and just pop in the music, you know, people cheering?
Well,
something.
Instead of fireworks and everything, can have sparklers coming down the ramp or something?
You know? Yeah, exactly. I mean, like Bill Goldberg comes out and it's like, you know, somebody opens a shaken up can of, like Coca-Cola and Mentos, you know. some kind of a, you know.
Okay, but you guys tell me this. Why would not the WWE cancel this when they know good and dang well that Florida has asked them to close down the Performance Center, but have they already put this in the can?
They have been recording it this week. I think they've already got all the matches in the can. And from what I understand, there's going to be some changes that we're going to talk about here in a little bit. But
wait, so it's going to be WrestleMania is going to be pre-recorded?
The whole thing is going to be pre-recorded, and now it's going to be on two nights. It's going to be on Saturday night and Sunday night because they canceled the NXT TakeOver Tampa because, of course, Tampa wouldn't let them have it. And then they decided to do two nights worth. And I really don't know how they're going to pull this off. The one thing that I am looking forward to is the Firefly Funhouse match between Bray Wyatt and John Cena. For some reason, I'm looking forward to that one. But
it's
going to
be an empty Hooters match or something like that.
You remember a few years ago, they did a Bray Wyatt match with Randy Orton in an abandoned cabin out in outside of Kansas City. So I think it's going to be something like that.
Huh. I don't know, guys. I don't know. I think that everybody needs to just press pause for a minute and give it a couple weeks. Let's get through the shit storm. Let's let things calm down and then hit it full force, full blown. I mean, tell me what's wrong with either canceling WrestleMania or postponing it or maybe doing a SummerSlam / WrestleMania crossover or something like that.
That's what I wish they would do. I wish they would just have postponed it and then say, oh, we're going to combine it with SummerSlam and just go from there. And, you know, because literally there was one of the Raws that had one four-minute match in it. The rest of it was talk or they replayed matches. SmackDown has been a little bit better than Raw as far as exciting matches in the ring. But I don't know have either of you guys watched what they have been doing on All Elite for these empty arenas?
You mentioned some stuff about it. I've seen some clips and stuff, but I haven't watched.
They took the opportunity to take a little bit fewer people. I mean, they just had like maybe 12 to 15 of the wrestlers outside of the ring and then the wrestlers in the ring, and they were all really spread out apart. So they were doing social distancing, and they caught flack for it. But they also had Chris Jericho and Sean Spears and some of the other wrestlers were betting on the matches, so you could hear them hooting and hollering with that going on. That was the first week. And then this last week, they did something similar, but because they caught so much flack, we're having maybe 10 wrestlers within 30 yards of each other. I mean, it was in an arena, and they were, you know, there was the ring where the wrestlers were, there was the floor area, and then there was like the first row, and you had them around the rings, and it wasn't maybe 12, maybe 15 wrestlers. So they were doing their social distancing thing. But they caught flack for it, and this week they had the wrestlers in the other room, and they were piping in every once in a while on the split screen. You could see some of the wrestlers betting on the matches and making comments about it and hooting and hollering like they were having a good time. I thought it was very creative. I saw a little bit more of that in SmackDown on Friday night, which I watched today, especially with the Nikki Cross in commentary. That was hilarious when Alexa Bliss was taking on Asuka in the ring. Nikki Cross on commentary was hyper. She was all over Michael Cole. There was one point where Michael Cole, they caught him with the camera. He was looking over at some of the support staff and just laughing his head off. So that was a little bit better. But I'm like you guys. I just think they should have postponed the event and said, we're going to wait until this is over with. Mm-hmm. So with that, I want to talk before we get into what's going on with Matt Hardy a little bit. I want to go over a little news that I found out today. Are you ready for this?
Ready. Go for it. Go for it.
A lot of these people that we were depending on to be in this WrestleMania, it's too big for just one night, two nights of WrestleMania with no crowd. Here's some of the people who cannot attend for various reasons. Asuka will not be there. Cesaro will not be there with that match it was going to be Daniel Bryan against Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental title. He was going to be part of that. The bad news was that Roman Reigns had to pull out of the match with Goldberg. And I can understand that with his leukemia in the past and the doctors just ask him not to do. So who's going to who would you want to replace Roman Reigns in this match against? I'm drawing a blank here.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Goldberg.
Matt Riddle.
Matt Riddle?
Oh, that would be good. Matt Riddle would be good. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Not going to happen. Even though they have heat with all this stuff going back and forth, they're bringing in Braun Strowman.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
So he'll now become the champion as they'll do this a little bit, and then they'll have some kind of promo later with Roman Reigns finally getting out. So I can understand Roman. I'm not really sure why Asuka and Cesaro, but they were not there at the tapings this weekend. They might have had travel problems. They might have just decided not to go. So Andrade was going to be in a tag team match for the Raw Championship tag team, but he will not be there because he was injured. He injured some ribs in Monday Night Raw. And then, guys, listen to this. The Miz is not going to be at WrestleMania with John Morrison defending their tag team championships. But there's other news with that. Friday Night SmackDown, when they recorded it, The Miz was there. But he was actually ill. And he was not feeling well. No word on whether, you know, I'm not going to speculate whether he has the virus or not. And he's getting heat from backstage with the other wrestlers. And I can't blame him. What do you guys think about that?
I don't know. You know, if the guy, with everything's so hyped up right now that,
yeah.
I mean, I've heard that people are in big cities are calling the police for people sneezing and coughing.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, you know, so who's to say that the Miz, like you said, if he had the sniffles or something, and in a normal case, in any other situation, everybody would have looked past the sniffles. Mm-hmm. But now, because it's like this big thing that's been hyped up and overreacted, if somebody has the sniffles, everybody freaks out and bans them and calls them names and stuff, you know? It's like, good grief, you know? If the Miz was sick, it depends on how sick he was. I mean, for crap's sakes, Michael Jordan beat the Utah Jazz with the flu.
He did that one time. Yeah.
So what would that right now, if that was the case, would Jordan be like a scumbag or something?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Do you know how we feel about that? Chris is going, what? What? What?
Sorry.
So other wrestlers not going to be there because Dana Brooke is quarantined at home for some reason. Rey Mysterio is also quarantined with some reason. Buddy Murphy, who is a great performer, they're trying to give him a little push with Seth Rollins. There's some kind of problem with him, and he will not be there. So they've had to do some real changes here at the last minute. And I'm going to say this, and you guys might or might not agree with me. I'm going to try not to be too critical of what WrestleMania is this year because they're under a rough situation, but if it stinks, if it's terrible, I'll say it stinks, it's terrible, because I think they should have postponed it. What do you guys think?
I agree. I 1,000% agree.
Yeah.
1,000%.
Shouldn't do it. They shouldn't do it. They just need to leave it alone and just postpone it. Good Lord, this is the Super Bowl of wrestling.
Uh-huh.
How do they go from the Super Bowl of wrestling to the outhouse of wrestling?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what? That's a really good point. Super Bowl of wrestling.
More like the Super Bowl of wrestling to the toilet bowl of wrestling.
Ooh, with toilet paper.
With the outhouse, you don't have toilet paper. You only have a corn cob.
I don't know, guys. This is a strange situation that we're in right now, and with everything that's going on, like I said, let's just take a deep breath, calm down. I mean, you know, don't take your deep breath next to somebody, obviously, because they might, you know, infect you and you could die or whatever. But let's take a deep breath. Let's push pause for a moment, and let's let's combine WrestleMania with SummerSlam. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Art, when you're saying, you know, the Super Bowl, like the Super Bowl to the Toilet Bowl, you could rename it the Elimination Chamber. Toilet Bowl, oh, Eliminate.
Yeah,
the jokes get worse, guys.
Yes. So, yes. Yeah. Just like my attitude on professional wrestling right now, it just gets worse.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to get both of your guys' opinion on your personal life here, okay? Chris, you're in North Carolina, so I don't know what's going on in North Carolina and how it's going to affect you and your job. What's going on in North Carolina, Chris?
Well, we've got a mandatory as of Monday to stay in, but where I'm working at a produce plant right now until my other job kicks in, I have to go in, so I have a letter that will, if I was to be pulled over by the police, I show them that I can go to work and go back home. Other than that, everyone else at 5 o'clock in the afternoon has got to stay in on Monday. Everyone stays in. If you are caught outside, it is a $2,000 fine.
Wow. Now, is it going to be caught outside or... I mean, people, you know, they can go out in their yards, can't they?
Oh, yeah, they can go out in their yards and everything, but if they're caught out, like at Walmart, Kroger, stuff like that, it's not going to be a good day.
Okay. And Zane, you actually work in southern Utah, and you work it in a service industry. How is it affecting you and your job?
You know, it's interesting that everybody keeps saying, you know, we need to stay out of people's homes, and if I'm a carrier of the virus, let's just say there's a lot of people out there that are going to be screwed because people need their stuff fixed, whether there's a virus or not. Uh-huh. They're calling us. I'm going into their house, and I'm fixing their stuff. So, like you said, the only thing that's different is the other day the guy opened the door and was like, oh, well, come on in, and he opened the door, and he walked into the kitchen, and I walked into his furnace room, and then he closed the door behind me, and he didn't talk to me much while I was working on his furnace, but I was still in his house.
Uh-huh.
You know, but people don't seem to care. I'm going to change out a water heater on Monday at a house, and they need hot water.
Yeah.
Whether there's a virus or not, they still need it, so... Like I said, they're screwed. If I'm a carrier, they're screwed.
So has your ownership of the company you work for, and let's not mention the ownership of the company name, if you don't mind, but have they addressed it with the workers because you work in the heating and air conditioning business?
A lot of our stuff is, as far as the plumbing side, is new construction.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not around the public. Most of their stuff at the job site, you know, they're scattered all throughout a large facility. Like right now they're in Moab doing a great big school, and there's probably a dozen or so plumbers down there, but they're all have their own tasks and their own jobs and things, so they're scattered out through the building.
Uh-huh.
So they still have deadlines to meet on the school, whether there's a virus or not.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the heating and air conditioning business, again, new construction hasn't slowed down much at all. I would speculate this will hit a little bit later on because, you know, there's not a lot of new work coming down the pipeline for, you know, little pause for about a month or so. So we'll hit a slow spot probably in the summer for a little while, and then it'll pick right back up again. I don't think this is going to affect them too much.
Okay.
There's enough work out there right now that we'll be fine. And then the service and repair part of the business that I'm on, you know, like we've been doing a lot of work at a hospital right now, and hospitals and things like that, that's a very crucial thing because if they have their heating and air shut down and their ventilation shut down in the middle of this type of a crisis, then they're in worse shape than they were before. So they need us to come.
Right.
And so there's a lot of things that are going on right now that just a little bit more cautious and a little bit more, you know, distance and things like that. But honestly, not a lot has changed in our industry.
Well, that's cool. Now, let me go back to Chris, because you said something, Chris, that you work right now, you're working with produce. Are they making any extra precautions where you work as far as cleanliness or what you guys have to do when you're out working with the produce?
The drivers are now having to wear masks, gloves. Anytime that we touch anything that is corroded, if it's got mold or anything, we have to. My hands look like a prune right now, but that's just the way it is. But they're not taking. We can't have nobody come into the plant and look around like they used to. No customers can come in. It is bad, but I got news for you guys. This is going to get. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we got the highest rate right now of all the cases in the world, and my thing is.
I read something the other day, and I'm going to tell you guys. I came up with a new term for people because there are sickos out there that are going around thinking it's great fun to cough on meats and produce in stores and the other things. You know, going up to people and coughing on them, just to get they think it's funny. And I read something the other day. They come up with a new term they called COVIDiots. I love that term and. I know that I saw a video today where somebody did that in a store, coughed on some produce, and there was a worker there that laid him out. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. That's awesome.
Well, they had one kid that was licking all the deodorants with his tongue on one side, licking all the female products.
Jeez.
And if I had saw that, he'd have gotten my knee into his jaw. But the thing I have a problem with, guys, is that some of these millennials are not taking this seriously. They think it's a hoax. It's not a hoax, people. It's real.
Yep.
Well, yeah, it's real. It's real. And I like you said, you know, or my like I kind of mentioned, my opinion is, you know, I know that the media has done a great big disservice of hyping things up and making things a lot worse than it needs to be. But I 100% agree with. Making sure that we're cautious, making sure that we're taking precautions to, you know, like my dad just got out of surgery.
Mm-hmm.
He had a colon cancer, so they took removed a section of his colon just recently. Wow. And, you know, so we've got to be very careful with seeing my dad right now because he's 85 years old.
Wow.
And so not just that, but he's also has a weakened immune system from the surgery, and there's a possibility of infection and things like that. So, you know, of course I'd love to scoop my dad up and give him a great big hug and a smooch on the face, but I can't do that right now. So I'm just, you know, I went and sat by him, sat in the chair next to him and just said, hope you're doing well, Dad. I hope, you know, I'm glad to see you. Glad to see you upright. Glad to see things are well for you. But I can't. You know, I'm trying to be cautious for embracing him as well. As much as I'd love to scoop your dear old dad up and give him a big hug, I'm trying to be a little cautious.
Yeah.
Y'all were talking about businesses and everything. My mother has a school supply store in Paris, Tennessee, and from what I understand, her school supply store may be shutting down permanently. This is how bad that the small towns are getting hit. The mom and pop stores. They're getting hit so dang hard, it's pathetic. And this is their bread and butter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we're on the 29th. Yeah, 28th. That's right.
The 28th.
Sunday the 29th is a date that has been set aside for mom and pop businesses, National Mom and Pop Business Appreciation Day. They're the ones that are going to be hurt the worst. And Zane, I want to just give you a personal message. Give your father my best. He raised a great young man.
Thank you.
And I feel bad for you on that end of it. It's got to be tough. But, guys, one more thing. Let's get a little bit less serious here. We're the week of WrestleMania. We're going to be trying something different on our Facebook page. And we could even do it on our Twitter page if you can do that for us, Zane. We're going to try to do Trashhead Mania. And what Trashhead Mania is we're going to invite you, Chris, myself, and anybody else who would like to do that, to put on one or two of their favorite matches throughout the entire week. And then we'll have stuff that we can watch and make comments on that particular match. And I've also thought we'd throw some things out to some of the wrestlers that follow us. Put their own matches on there. Put one of their matches on. Manny Limits, let's see your match. Then Bruce Wayans or Marlon Bishop. There in Colorado, we have John Wagner out in Florida who follows us too. And invite you to put one or two of your favorite matches from your association, your little your indie promotion, but something that means the world to you, and we'll all watch it all week long. It's on the Facebook page, and Zane, if you can watch out and maybe get people to do that on Twitter, because I still don't understand Twitter at all, but it should be kind of fun, okay?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Sounds good.
Well, guys, thanks for chatting. I am at my father's house, so I'm going to go and I'm going to stay 6 feet away, but I'm going to go see how he's doing.
Good. And give him our best, please.
We will. Yeah, we will. And this podcast, we did mention wrestling, but it has been a little bit more of a serious note on current of situation, which affects wrestling and affects all of our lives. Mm-hmm. And so I hope the listeners will hang with us through this time as wrestling is very strange right now, as well as real world and your lives, Dave, Chris, all of our friends out there. We hope that they are doing well through all this, and we wish the best for the wrestling industry. You know, I know that this is going to take a hit. You know, our favorite promotion in Utah, Devotion Championship Wrestling, they've had to cancel events and things like that.
And MK Bandit has a promotion in Phoenix that he also had to cancel an event too.
And like you said, that's a scary thing, because when people look forward to seeing these matches and they, you know, all it takes is a down month for an independent promotion, and they could close their doors forever, and we don't want to see that. So we need to make sure that when we come out of this, that we come out of it full force, and that we support independent wrestling, and we support, you know, the larger promotions too. But you guys know how big of a fan I am for the smaller promotions. I mentioned every stinking podcast how much I love things like Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and FSW and, you know, Devotion Championship Wrestling, these smaller promotions that are so, so amazing to watch. And we've got to make sure they make it through this.
Oh yeah. Big time. Big time.
I don't think I could add anything to that, Zane. Nope. Very, very well said, yeah.
Yes, very well said.
Well, thanks, guys. I'm going to sign off, so be safe out there. And,
all right.
And get your N95, Chris, okay?
Yeah, here we go. We're going to have ourselves a good old time.
Yeah, okay. All right. Just thanks, not some MDog 20, not MD 2020. Let's not do that. That's pretty nasty.
Yeah, no problem. Here we go.
Woo. Yeah, have you guys be safe, okay? We'll talk to you another time. So,
bye-bye.
Okay. All right, sounds good.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
Corona virus.
He got his battering beat off.
First name is Kevin. Last name is Solorzano.
How did he go from the Super Bowl of wrestling to the outhouse of wrestling?
Corona virus.
I'm not fat. I'm well marbled.
Corona virus.
Pure craziness of the moves that they do inside the ring.
What? You? What? No.
Kevin, let me see if I get this name right. Surliano? Is that close?
Solorzano.
My mom would probably kill me if I brought it up.
You know, your mom's probably going to kill me for you thinking about it.
Instead of fireworks and everything, you have sparklers coming down the ramp or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Bill Goldberg comes out and it's like... Corona virus. Brewing his own hand sanitizer, huh?
Yep, yep.
Corona virus.
That sounds like a stripper's name that you can't even walk away with bleach.